Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. We have some exciting things that are going to be happening here in just the next few moments. There's some exciting things that have already happened. We're just going to continue the excitement. I, too, am excited that my son is home. We've been praying through him through three deployments and living out there in Las Vegas and all of that. And, hey, be praying with us because in the next year he's going to finish his military assignment. And yeah, he knows it down to the hour and the second, I think. And after that, he's going to be looking to integrate into civilian life again in the aerospace, aeronautic industry. I think I'm a little bit loud, I think. Sounds loud up here. Is it loud there? A little bit, bring it down a little bit. Channel one there, bring me. There we go. That feels a little more comfortable. And pray that the Lord will open that door. We are putting in our preference. It's okay to mention your preferences to him and then submit to his lordship on that. We really would like for him to be in Fort Worth. Not even in Dallas County. You know, we'd like for him to be over here in Tarrant County. And working in close to home. We like that idea. I don't think it's too bad of an idea to him either. So we're ultimately saying, Lord, what do you have? Would you lead, guide? We've trusted you all the way around the world almost. We will trust you all the way around the world. But we sure would like to have him close by. So we appreciate your prayers. He's here today because of prayer. And in a lot of ways, since his drawing his first breath, through birth, and then even to this day. So we're glad to have him home. Something I want us to be reminded of, you saw some of those announcements, and I want to put a finer point on it for you. Next Sunday, we are celebrating staff pastors in the sense of our outreach and care pastor ministry, as well as our seniors ministries. We are going to celebrate the Hentons and the Thomases next week. And everybody said, woo-hoo, right? All right. And so, in light of that, I just want to encourage you to get your cards ready, your notes of appreciation. You can place that into the church offering. Just note love offering for the Hintons, love offering for the Thomases, and that will come in, and we can distribute that out to them. And so we're just looking to celebrate for a time in the service, and then following is going to be a meal. Free. Everybody say free meal. Email provided out in the multi-purpose building next week right after the service, and we'll get a time of fellowship together and an opportunity to tell them directly how much you appreciate them. You've been probably doing that through all the year, but it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to thank him for the gifts that he's placed amongst us, and we're going to do that next week. So we're looking forward to blessing them and celebrating them. And just bear in mind that Pastor Brian has been organizing the outreach along with Matthew's help. And this is the year that the Lord has spoken to me about release, right? That's not to be translated dumping. That's to be translated release. That's a much more careful process. And I'm grateful for those that are standing up saying, I'm willing, I'm ready. They can be trusted. They're people of integrity. They have a heart towards the Lord. They pray over their matters. And then through a process of handoff that they can take off with this, and this can be released into their hands. And so into the hands of Pastor Cindy and Pastor Brian and into the hands of Steve and Becky, we are commending some ministry. And I'm just grateful. So we need to receive that ministry and celebrate it next week. Amen? That's going to be a great time. Now, you also may have noticed that there is going to be a free movie. Everybody say free movie. And what we like to do is rent out the entire theater at Texas Movie Bistro. And this gives you an opportunity. And here's the key. First on your list, number one on your list, are people that you suspect very strongly, or an angel has appeared to you and shown you that they don't know Jesus. And they won't come to church, but they will go to the theater every day and twice on Sunday. How you like that expression? And you can invite them and say, would you come? Our church has just rented out the theater, and we're going to go see a movie. What is it? It's a historical picture, and it's called Paul the Apostle of Jesus Christ. And we have rented it out. We've paid for it. Your tithe dollars at work. This is part of our outreach, not only into our community, but right into our families. And so the thing is, we want to fill up that theater. And so what we need to do is we need to make a good faith reservation on the tickets. It is a free movie, but there's only so many spaces. And so 180 seats, and everybody knows that they really don't want to sit within the first one or two. So somewhere between 160, 180 is full over there. We'd like to fill it up, okay? And some of us, are the good church folks, may need to sit down front so the other people who don't like to sit down front have some open seats to sit in. We might even be in a situation where there's a couple of us that might have to stand out or stand along the wall or something or sneak in and watch it while we're standing up. But this is an opportunity for our unsaved friends and loved ones to be exposed, and unchurched people to be exposed to what in the world is the church about. We thought it was stained glass pipe organ and somebody telling me what a miserable wretch I am. Well, no, that's not what it's about. It's about the historical fact that Jesus is God in the flesh. He died for our sin. And on the third day, God raised him again from the grave. And he has ascended, resurrected, and glorified to the right hand of the Father. He's coming back. And in the meantime, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. That is what we're doing, and that's part of our outreach to our friends and family. So get ready. Please email webmaster@visionchurch.ag. It's right there in your bulletin. We have done sign-up. We may get a sign-up genius of some sort placed into the website where we can sign up that way, but we want to be sure that we can designate some tickets. Then there will be people after 180 are spoken for who will be on a waiting list. And they can then come and take a chance, like Abba sang in the 70s. They can take a chance on me, and they can come, and then they can go in if somebody doesn't show up. Usually the number is about 10% of people or more say they'll come, and then they don't. So we're going to try to not get in trouble, get thrown in prison like Jim Baker did for overbooking a hotel. We don't want to overbook the movie theater, but we don't want to anger people because we promised them a seat and then there wasn't one. So we got to do that delicate balancing act. So webmaster@visionchurch.ag, and we can coordinate. Yeah. Yes. And so what we'll need, yeah, hang on just a second. And so it will greatly help us if you can give us, the more detail you can give us, the better. Names, first and last names, ages, things like that. That way we know how to make accommodations, okay? Good information. We'll let you know if it's too much information, maybe with a kind email in response. Thank you, TMI. So, all right, all minds clear? Awesome. Well, now let's segue into some things that are upon my heart, and I'm just letting you know, I want to let you know right now, there's some people in this room that have a testimony, and while I'm speaking, you're going to hear me say blah, 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 amen, blah, 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 hallelujah, and in the next minutes, you're going to be wondering, what am I going to say, what's he going to ask me, and so on and so forth. I'm just letting you know that there are some people with some testimonies in this room, and I'm going to call upon you, and I'm going to help you, I'm going to interview you, I'm going to ask that you come up here. And I'm going to have a mic, and we're going to talk, and we're going to brag on Jesus this morning. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Now, those that are going to be arriving here as we leave are going to be missing it because their clock wasn't set or whatever happened. In this wonderful age of technology, when it's self-adjusting clocks and everything, it still happens, and it's just a grand mystery to me. But I know that we've had... We've missed that 1 hour sleep, and just 1 hour can really throw us a curve. And so this morning, we're going to spend some high time honoring the Lord. Now, to build towards that, I just want to say, first of all, What a time we had Sunday morning through Wednesday evening. Amen? Amen. What a wonderful time. I'm just so grateful and thankful for the gifts that He puts into our life that bring value and bring meaning and gravity and grace to our experience. And I'm just so grateful as I've been hearing that word from the Lord about release, return, and refreshing. Would you agree that there's been some refreshing around here? Amen. If you believe that, raise your hand. Leave it up if you think we need some more refreshing. All right. Aren't you glad God's not done refreshing us? God's not done refreshing us. Now, something I just want to lay in the background of our understanding just before we hear some testimonies and brag on the Lord, as I just want to lay a foundation here to say that some couple years ago I spent several times 40 days in fasting and prayer. One time was water only, and one time I actually stir-fried in olive oil some black beans. And that was my protein. And I spent just oodles and gobs and hours of time with the Lord in prayer. Sometimes it would be most of the night. Sometimes it'd be early in the morning through middle of the day. And began saying, Lord, You have called us. We find ourselves here in Lake Worth, and we cannot afford to be a church usual. There are plenty of those. We don't need another church just like that. You have something in your heart and in your mind for us. Lord, would You just begin to lay that upon my heart? And so the prayer team has heard a lot about this, and I just want to say this, that the Lord has spoken to me in the concept of wells. Where He did is He took me to a passage of Scripture that says this in the book of John, and out of His belly shall flow rivers. Everybody say rivers. Of living water. Now, when it comes to God, when it comes to the work of the Spirit, when it comes to the things of Jesus, there is a multifaceted aspect to God. Aren't you glad He's not dull, boring, mundane, and one-dimensional? Our God is awesome. And as we dig deep into Him, we find out how shallow we've gone and how much more there is yet to encounter. I love the songs that talk about 10,000 years will just be started. 10,000 years, we'll just be nicking the surface because God is so deep and so vast and so wide and so high. He is just so awesome. He is just so, from the beginning, unfathomable. But by the work of the Spirit, He begins to lead us into His understanding, and He begins to reveal Himself to us. And as He does, is that rich or what? That is so awesome. No matter where we are on our journey, with our very first step, or if we've been walking along in faithfulness for 50 years, what we all find is there are some things right out ahead of us that are just awesome. Our God is an awesome God.
Yes, sir.
He began to talk to me about that idea of those rivers, and He began to then take a biblical concept of Abraham the well builder, and He began to unfold to me out of the book of Genesis and onward that Abraham, everywhere he went, dug wells and built altars. Now, why do you dig a well? Because a well allows you to have water even in the desert and allows you to stay in a place where God has revealed Himself. Do you know what we often do in our Christianity? We expect that God only reveals Himself in fleeting, momentary ways, never to do it again. If we're not careful, we have a very pagan mentality that God is very fickle, and that He does one thing one day and doesn't want to do it again, that He's stubborn, maybe even childish, and we have to beg, cajole, insist, and demand that somehow He comes through and does something with His promises. But we have it all entirely wrong and backward. That is something a pagan Greek or another pagan person upon the planet is born with, that notion. This fickle, evading God that we just can't nail down. And Jesus came to destroy that idea. He came to reveal the fact that God not only likes to reveal Himself, but He likes to abide with us. And we have a tendency to see God as coming by, staying for the day, and never coming back again. But I'm here to tell you something this morning, church. God wants to open up some wells so that he may remain in that place and accomplish something on an ever-increasing basis. Think about that. What we're seeing around here is actually a materialization of something that God began to speak to us, me, and then to us in the prayer group, and that's this. He spoke to me not long ago, and he says, you ready for this? It's time to open up a flow or the well of power. Everybody say power. Isn't that awesome? The power of God. I'm just curious, how many of you just have over much of the power of God in your life and you just can't take any more? How many of you feel like, I'm just not seeing enough of the power of God? Huh? It's okay, you're not blaming me, I'm not going to take it personal. I'll only take it personal to the level it needs to be personal. Okay? And so, very often we see revivals or moves of God as an opening up of power. It's like the heavens open for a second, the sun shines through, and then we go, okay, back to the gloomy skies. No. It doesn't have to be that way. He led me through an understanding, and I've preached on this before, but he said there are seven wells. The first one is awareness of his presence. And haven't we had a wonderful awareness of his presence this week? Do you know that we can continue in that? The next one is repentance, where hearts repent and return. He's opening that well up and has opened up that well in the house. Some of it's just had to be redug in our lives. It's there. And some of it just has to be redug. And here's the hint. Redigging a well is much easier than digging it for the first time. The third one is salvation. How many of you want to see a steady stream of people who are being born again? Amen? I want to see that. We are not seeing that right now. But that's not to condemn us. That's to let us know that the Lord wants to open this well up and he wants it to flow in the house. He wants us to be a church that remains in that place of winning people to Jesus, seeing lost people found, people who are in darkness come to his light. We are going to move in very definitive directions through prayer, planning and activity to be more effective evangelizers of the lost in our personal life, everywhere we are, and in our community. Amen? The next one is revelation. Revelation is pulling back the darkness in the clouds and allowing his light in to show us how it really is. I don't think there's anybody in this room, especially me, that could ever say, no, God's just laid everything bare and I can see it plainly now. No. We're sitting there going, what in the world is going on? We need his revelation. Then there comes deliverance, where chains are broken, demonic strongholds are exposed and shattered, people are set free. Then there's healing. And that's a healing that comes to spirit, soul, and body in fullness. And then there's empowerment, where people are released from that healing to remain in that healing and to overcome, like we have been called to overcome, to fight with power and authority. That is Jesus' dream. That is the Father's heart for Vision Church. Amen? So what we've been seeing this last week, we have people who have prepared this with prayer. We've been looking forward to this, fasting and praying and seeking the Lord. And we have experienced this week some breakthroughs of God's grace. Now, before I go any further, I want to say this. Just before I start to introduce people, we start to hear some testimony, it's at this. Very often, we place grace into the hands of God who is recalcitrant. He's hesitant to give it. It's a gift, but you know what? It's really special. So he wants to save it for special occasions and only give special gifts every once in a while. And, you know, he doesn't want us to kind of count on him with showering us with gifts and blessings. No, it's just an occasional one here and there. Again, we're going back to that pagan mindset. We misunderstand the heart of God. Let me tell you what the heart of the Father is. He wants to daily lay us down with every blessing in Christ Jesus. He wants us to be the head and not the tail. He wants us to be above and not beneath. He wants us to be asserted in power, confidence, and authority in Him. And He wants to flow a dynamic, multifaceted river of His grace through our lives continually, changing and transforming our life and splashing over into the lives of others, deeply and radically transforming them. He wants to bring a stream into the desert. He wants to break the famine. He wants to cause us to not be thirsty in a weary land and dry, but He wants us to be full and glad of heart. And I want us to hear what He says in the 23rd Psalm. He prepares for me a table in the very presence of my enemies. My cup overflows, and He has anointed my head with oil. Are you hearing that? Now, that's not just a happy-go-lucky, pie-in-the-sky, Jesus later and overcoming later idea. It's not a prosperity thing out of whack. I'm just telling you, God wants to heavily lay us down with His grace. The problem is not God's fickleness. It's ours. It's not a problem with God's faithfulness. It's ours. It's not a problem with God's release. Let me lay this on you. He has already released it. The problem is in the vessel. The problem is in the receptivity. The problem is in the character. The problem is in us releasing things, taking hold of the grace of God. It's in the place of returning to the place of the grace of God. And it's a time of being refreshed in the grace of God. Amen? Now, there's three characteristics, and we're going to touch on these. And these are the three ways that we do it. And that is that the grace of God touches us in our spirit, our soul, and our body. Amen? He doesn't necessarily prefer one over the other. He does all three. So what I want to do is I want to hear some testimonies, and if nobody jumps up, I know one or two I can call on, where you received a spirit touch between Sunday morning and Wednesday night. The Lord just ministered grace powerfully to you in your spirit. Now, what does that look like? If a person's born again, where does that happen? In their spirit. Are you with me? If a person is baptized in the Holy Spirit, that happens in their spirit. If a person receives a gift of the Spirit, or that's fanned into a flame in them, where does that happen? In their spirit. So there is a release or a deliverance spiritually. Where does that happen? In your spirit. So let's brag on Jesus, and let's hear a testimony or two of somebody who received a touch from the Lord, a very definite touch. Now, what does that sound like? Well, I don't know. I just felt like... No, there's something that you know He specifically did in your life, and you feel comfortable sharing that. Would you come join me up here at the front? I'm going to grab a mic, step down there, and I want to hear from you. Who's going to be the first? Brother Steve. You're going to step out and break the ice.
Okay.
You told me during Holy Spirit night. Now, this man has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Been, first of all, born again. Been baptized in the Holy Spirit. What year were you baptized
years,
in the Holy Spirit?
1972.
1972, when I was 10. So, so, you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. But on Holy Spirit night this week, what happened?
Well, I got a new language. I wasn't expecting. You know, He just said, hey, let's just all pray in the Spirit. And then something new came out after 40 years. What's up with that? Yeah, God said, behold, I will do a new thing. Well, that's what He did with me. So it was refreshing to me.
All right. What a refreshment, huh?
Yes.
Do you feel like it has refreshed your spirit?
Yes.
Oh, amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. He gets to speak most every Wednesday. I can't turn him loose on you now. So, some of you are sitting there saying, what in the world, a new language? Yes, let's turn it down. I'm standing up here and I'm going to get some feedback, so let's turn it back down a little bit. So, yeah, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. How does it start? Sometimes with one syllable or one sound. And then it develops from there, and it becomes renewed and developed. But another thing that happens is, the Lord can give you a new language. And I know intercessors who actually, depending on the type of need that it is, they move into a different dialect or a different language altogether. Do they know what the language is? No more than they know the first one. But it's their prayer language, and it's for every believer. So isn't that powerful? Anybody baptized in the Holy Spirit this week? I see you nodding just slightly. I'm not doing this to embarrass you. I'm doing this to, because the Scripture says that they overcame him, the devil, through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. How many of you know Marcia Hendricks? If not, this is Marcia Hendricks. Let me introduce you to her, her and Mark. Mark's back there on the soundboard helping this morning. Appreciate you, Mark. And how long since you've been born again?
Oh, in 1968. I was born again.
Should I say how old that? No.
I was 20.
When I was a mere 6-year-old, learning how to write my name. No, your name, here, listen to this segue. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yes, it was.
You were born again. Yeah. Now, after that time, the Holy Spirit was with you, speaking to you, ministering to you, anointing you, empowering you, leading you, directing you. You know, and you hadn't been taught that much on this, and you had to wrestle with through some things. But this week, not in the service of all things, but at your home or somebody else's home, what happened?
Well, I think the famine is over in my life because...
Everybody, put your hands together and thank the Lord.
This was a new thing for me and my son, even, because as we came into this church, we realized that, you know, we had friends that had a prayer language, but, you know, I never really asked for it. I never really thought I needed it. You know, I had the Holy Spirit. I've been on a long, long journey with the Lord. And, boy, I tell you.
All of us are. We're
when
pretty,
you get to a yeah. point where... You can't reach out and say what you want to say to him about an issue. It just came to me, and it started with a couple of words, and then as I began to reach out to the Lord, I began to, you know, just have this unbelievable. I don't know if it's a language or not, but it's a prayer language for between me and the Lord, and. I remember that I had voiced this about 7 years ago on behalf of my son. And I thought back to that time and I thought, oh my goodness, I prayed for him in another language that only the Lord understood. And he healed him from a terrible addiction. And
hey, give the Lord a hand clap. Come on.
And so, you know, that I just feel like, you know, I just can move forward now. And I know that the enemy will attack us.
Sure.
And but, you know, I'm ready to I know how to fight that now, to combat that now. You know.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to call you back up for another one. Oh. Okay, we'll save that other one.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Thank you. Don't you? Yeah, you can come or sit. Yeah, right up here because you're going to be back up here in a little bit. Baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke as the Spirit gave her utterance and entered into that. She wasn't quite sure how that was going to go down, but it went down, didn't it? And right there, she prayed for somebody else. She began to pray in the Spirit. She's been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Would you give the Lord a hand clap? That's awesome. Anybody else just want to say, the Lord did something in my spirit. This can be a powerful boost of encouragement and not something that's fleeting, where it works for an hour and then poop back into the depression. But something has just shifted in your life. You want to lift up a hand right where you are. Okay, y'all are looking at me like a calf in front of a new gate. Over here? Wayne, come on up here. What did the Lord do in your spirit?
In my spirit. Well, I've reached an age where you can't define. It's hard to define what's wrong. You know, you don't really feel all that good. You're not really sick, but you don't feel so hot. And I have to say, after that night, I have felt better than I have in years. It's like all of a sudden I got my energy back. I got my good outlook back. Hmm. I'm not normally a gloomy guy. I don't know if y'all know that, but I'm not normally a gloomy guy. But it was just like I had a more positive attitude. And like I said, you can't put your finger on that, but it's like an overall washing of the years away from my life. Mm. And I'm like the kid, more. I want more of that, Lord. So I'm just going to keep asking for more. And then I'm a glutton when it comes to the blessing of God. I'll take all you got.
Okay. All right. Amen. That's just a transformation of the spirit. That weariness that gets into our spirit. I mean, it goes down and deeper than the bone. It's more than mind, will, and emotion. It goes right down into our spirit. And then he lifts our spirit. He lifts us up out of the miry clay, and he does a powerful thing. Amen. Now, there's another way that God can do that. That's in our mind, our will, and our emotions. Somebody that might say, now I haven't heard necessarily a specific testimony on this, but I want to give you an opportunity where the Lord has just changed a mindset. He's challenged and changed a mindset. He's revealed himself to me in such a way that it's changed my thinking. It's fundamentally just, it's like I was in this rut of thinking and he's pulled me up and he put me over here and he's done something in the way that I process and even think about things, my outlook on things, or it may be something that he's done in your emotions. Mind, will, and emotions, a mindset, the way that you're thinking through things, then that's changed. That's very subtle and nuanced, I know. But if you feel like that's something that affects you, would you just lift up a hand where you are? Some of that seeped over into, we're so complex, the Lord does something in our spirit, and it then begins to do some transformation in our soul. That is the doorway that he uses, our spirit, into the transformation of our soul. Anybody? Because I didn't want to skip over that. Some of you say, well, the Lord didn't. If nothing else, you can sit there, I hadn't thought about that. Why? You know why? Bottom line, do you know what we look for very often? I'm not saying we shouldn't. We need to look for this more. We look for in a move of God something physical, namely a healing. I mean, if somebody didn't have eyeballs and they were given new eyeballs, we can go for 20 years on the strength of that one. Wow, I know there's a God. I know he can do that. But he also can break depression. Hello? He can break things that grip our ways of thinking. He can reveal something through his word that shatters a mindset or a way of thinking that the enemy has held over us, maybe all of our life, simply because we're descendants of Adam and Eve. And that is not a minor miracle or a minor move of his grace. Ask the person who has that mindset shattered, and they'll go, God is so good. He has just shattered. So I just want to encourage you and tell you that the same God, one of the reasons that he does what we're about to discuss is so he can show you that if he can do this in the physical, he can do it in the mental, the mind, will, and emotion, and he can do it in the spirit. He can change your destiny where you don't have to live forever separated from him, but you can live forever with a knowledge, I am a child of God. Brother Steve.
I think that's happening in a lot of us. Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. I appreciate the pastoral heart of Brother Steve. Some of you say, you know, I just think the Lord's up to something in my mind, my will, and my emotions. I'm not admitting I'm a psychotic. I am not admitting that I'm a wrist-slashing suicidal maniac. No, I'm just admitting that I'm a man or woman with a soul. And as the psalmist said, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope. All those are terminologies of the soul. I said, God is doing something in my soul. Would you just raise a hand? I'm going to put my hand up. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we just thank you because you are doing some transformative work by your Spirit in our soul. This is the beginnings. This is a trickling. This is a beginning movement of your grace coming into our mind, our will, and our emotions. And you want to open this stream. You want a stream in this house.
You want a well in this house of your healing of the mind. And Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Right. Yeah. So what I'm hearing is he sometimes has to upset our life a little bit to melt some things down and reformulate us. Amen. And that's what's going on. That's what you're hearing. Now, we've had some physical things that have happened in people's bodies, physical bodies. And so, Brother David, could you come up? I'm going to have you guys sit on the front here, and we'll line you up real quick. If you had a physical touch in your physical body, a measurable physical touch in your physical body this week, I'd like for you to come up. Marcia, you can come back up here. Anybody else? No, come on up. And as they're coming, I'm going to ask those that are going to be waiting upon us for communion to get ready at the back, because we're going to come out of this time into a time of communion. I want to share something with you. Okay? So you received a physical, out of this revival this week, you received a physical touch of God in your body. Are you up here for that?
Well, like I said, I wasn't here, but Brother Dale came to my hospital room and laid hands, and you and
Pastor Steve,
and it gave me a lot more energy. I was able to walk farther distances. I had to use a walker, but I wasn't as tired, and I walked about 237 feet, 243 feet. So
yeah,
it kept getting better and better.
Excellent. Thank the Lord. Amen. Thank you. A tangible difference as a result of prayer, the prayer of faith, and grace of God manifesting in his life. Jennifer.
Well, I hurt my foot last month, and, you know, during the revival, I noticed that I could stand longer than normal. And then I believe it was Wednesday night, I started feeling like, hey, wait a minute, there's something going on here. And that the limp that I was feeling was actually the shoe I was using. It was, you know, that medical shoe that has no bend in it. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, hey, let's take it off. Let's see how it works. And so I've been walking around since, even though at work I have to wear my boot. But
right. You're going to play nice and according to the rules.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It's still a little bit weak, but, you know, with practice, you know, it's getting much better.
Amen. So.
Would you just stretch forth a hand right where you are, and let's just pray right now. Lord Jesus, you have begun. You are faithful. You who began a good work, you are faithful to complete it. You are faithful to complete it. We just throw open our spirit to you, our soul to you, and we just say, Holy Spirit, flow. Grace of God, Spirit of grace, flow into every weakness, every place that needs strength. And we pray that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. See, you not only were baptized in the Holy Spirit, not here, but elsewhere, but something else happened.
The night of the healing service, he was preaching on healing, obviously, and it was a great revelation. But he also mentioned there's some people in here who have been having some problems with their ears. I went, oh my gosh, that's me. Because since last June, I've had three ear infections in this side of my ear. And not affecting my hearing, but just the pain of an old-fashioned earache.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah. And so I came down to be prayed for, and the Lord touched me.
How do you know?
Well, it's not hurting, and there's no infection. And I go to
give the Lord a hand clap.
Yeah.
Come on now. Come on now.
I go to the ENT next week just for him to say, oh, looks great. looks good.
All right. I mean, if they're the ones that give us the report, oh, boy, you got this. They need to be the ones that say, well, we checked you. Yeah. It's just fine.
Exactly.
Amen. Get a doctor's report. Absolutely. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. You can go head back to your seat. I won't call you up anymore, I promise. You over here, you can go back to your seats. Brother David Hammond, I've known you for, I think, 7 to 8 years, maybe somewhere in there, because every Christmas, almost without fail, we would get together at the staff party. We're the spouses of staff at a Christian school, and we would go feast and talk. And all that time, I remember you struggling with your back and dealing with some pain. And so, tell us what happened here.
Okay, overall, when we first got word we were going to do this with Brother Daly, and I said, whatever God's got, I'm not going to miss.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, I made up my mind to that that effect. I got to tell you, I'm not real big on public displays of affection, okay. So this is kind of hard for me to do. But I really am trying to be obedient. I'm not very good at it, but I'm trying, okay? I've had quite a bit of history, like on the back, and about, I guess it's been 6 years or so now. I got down in the back a little bit, so after a couple of visits with doctors, I finally went to one and says, "You ain't got a hip problem, you got a back problem." So he orders up the MRI, and I go to visit with him after we had a chance to review it, and he first question out of his mouth was, when did you break your back? And I said, say again. And he said, when did you break your back? And I said, I was not aware that I had broken my back. It's just that it started hurting, and I'm here to see that. He says, well, it's an old fracture. And I said, well, what do you mean by old? And he says, well, it could be 30 or 40 years ago, that old. And I told him a little bit about having ran a couple of marathons and rode a couple of 100-mile bike rides. And he says, you did that with a broken back? And I said, well, I guess I did, because I did do it. And now, I mean, I'm having some problems with it. Anyway, I've been doing the last few years, I've been doing a cortisone steroid injections in the spine. And they work from anywhere from 2 weeks to the longest one was like 13 months, you know, that provides some relief so that you can continue with a reasonably good life or whatever, you know. And right now, the last time I had one was August 11th of 2017, so I'm on the high side of the average right now. And I know, you know, like, I felt something in my body when we prayed for healing.
What did it feel like?
Well, I'm not sure I can tell you. That
okay, you just knew something.
I knew something had happened. And I went down to the gym the next morning, and I usually do that, but not anywhere near the intensity that I did this time. And I go down there, and I rode the stationary bike for 50 minutes. And then went over and got on the treadmill and did it for 30 minutes. And it's been a while since I did one like that. I went back the very next day and did it even longer. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
So, I mean, I can only tell you the facts now. I mean,
yeah.
I suppose that if you wanted to,
and I'm not going to go pay for an MRI to find out. You know, I mean, those are kind of expensive. You know, mm-hmm. You've got better uses.
Anybody else want to pay for it, just in case? I just
okay. See, but I will say that I have not had any pain relievers in close to 2 weeks now. You know, so it's pretty much a done deal. You know, and I believe I got a healing out of it. You know.
Amen.
So.
Amen. We're going to believe with you. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we just continue to receive that healing, and we agree with you. We're going to believe the gospel. We're going to believe your word. It's so easy for us to come up with reasons and excuses and alternatives and rationalizations. Lord, help us to return. Help us to return. Help us to return to that place of childhood belief, that pure heart of a child spiritually that says, my God can do anything, and I'm going to believe him. Even if you throw us in the furnace, our God is able to deliver from the furnace. We're looking at him. We're not looking at you. We're looking at him. We're not looking at pain. We're looking at him. We're not looking at illness. We're not looking at the enemy. We're looking at him. And Lord, we say thank you. We continue to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bless you, Brother David. Give the Lord another hand clap. If the ushers would come and start waiting on everybody with the elements for communion, we want to finish this next testimony and roll right into communion. Some of you may have one already. I've known Brother Larry for what, about a year and a half now? Somewhere near, maybe a year? Yeah. And, you know, you notice kind of things like if somebody uses a cane when they walk or somebody has a limp in their right, you know, we begin to define them by that. And in fact, they say, you know that fellow, what does he look like? Well, he's the guy with the real thick glasses. Or that's the lady who always pushes that walker around. Or the lady with the hurricane. Or something like that. And we tend to define people. Isn't it interesting we define people by that kind of stuff? It's what catches our attention. It's kind of out of the ordinary. And I really try to be observant, notice things, remember people's names, things about them. And you just couldn't help but notice, that's Larry Blackman. I see his two hearing aids. Okay? I don't call him Larry the guy with the hearing aids or Larry the cable guy or anything like that. I call him Larry Blackman. But I know in my head, if somebody asks me, well, how is Larry? Well, he's one of the handsomest guys in our church. He's got gray beard, goatee. He likes breakfast. And he's the guy that wears those hearing aids. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, I know who you're talking about. Okay. Well, he came to this series of revivals, and was it Wednesday? No, Tuesday. Tuesday night, miracle night. He came down here, and Dale laid hands on him and prayed, anointed him with oil, and I noticed, of course, very prominently, those hearing aids peeking out from behind those earlobes. What happened right after that?
When he laid hands on my ears, they turned red hot, and my ringing went away, and as far as I know, my hearing has been restored.
How do you like that? I love it. I talk for 5 minutes and set it up, and you say it in about 10 words or less. My wife's asking you to give me speaking lessons. The whole congregation will take up an offering. Bless you with that. But turn around. I want you to see. You can't identify him now. Just turn around for a second. Can't identify him as the guy with the hearing aids behind his ears. He was in a restaurant, turned to his wife and said, is it loud in here or what? How long, Cheryl, has it been since he's able to say that? A while. So God is doing a restorative work. His grace is breaking through. The power of God, folks, is starting to break out. How does a well start? It starts with a trickle. Then you keep digging until we're getting the edges of the beginnings of the flow of God's grace, and he wants it to visit in this house, not just come and stay for 3 days. Hello?
Yes.
I'm telling you, he wants it to visit in this house. He wants it to get deeper and broader and wider and higher, and he wants there to be an overwhelming flow of his grace that resides here with us. How many of you just say, do it, Lord?
Yes.
Amen? Let's just say it right now. Lord, would you do that? We want to cooperate. We have to go after you. Help us and empower us to dig. And Lord, I'm just praying over Larry in continual development, a continual digging of this flow into his life, a grace that raises to a new level and brings restoration physically in a very powerful way. And I pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. Bless you. Well, right here in your hands, you have some communion elements, and we want to wrap up this service this way. Something I know the Lord has put in my heart, and we're going to be talking this over more as a staff, and we want to do this creatively. We want to flow with the Lord on this. But I've just been very concerned that as Pentecostals, we're afraid of becoming liturgical, so we don't want to do anything twice. Because then, oh, well, that's habit now. That's liturgical, and so now we've missed the power of it. There is an aspect of God's abiding grace that, in the Roman Catholic understanding, we do not agree with, and it has to do with the church is the only receptacle for God's grace, and it's a means to His grace, and communion is an essential doorway to that. But I want to come at it this way. Jesus said on the night He was betrayed, "This is My body and this is My blood." Now, what you hold in your hand is a cellophane and foil covered, two-layered apparatus of plastic that holds a rather tasteless piece of bread. Rather questionable. It's safe and it's biodegradable. But it is a representation. And in the cup, you have grape juice, substance of the grape, okay? And it is a reminder of something. Now, what are we remembering? We're remembering His body and His blood. And what exactly is important about that? The very first movement of God's grace into our life, the very cracking of the well and the very first trickles of the water are to affect an awareness of His presence, a repentance from our sin, and the salvation of our soul. Aren't you glad that Jesus died for you and took that beating and was crucified? It says that for joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. What in the world was the joy? The joy was to open the way where God's grace could touch the people who would become the children of God, and they could be relishing the blessings of God as much as Jesus did. Jesus loves to share. And He came to give us all that the Father has. Do you know what our problem is? Our stubborn selves, our beaten down selves, our pagan thinking selves. Well, God, if You just give me a crumb, I'd be happy. You better not be. That's a great start. But you better understand that that crumb leads to a loaf. And that loaf leads to a table. And that table leads to a meal. And you are seated in the presence of the King. His name is upon you. You can put your feet under His table and say, "I'm an invited guest to the head table, the table of the King. I'm a child of God, and He's looking to bring me into alignment with Himself and pour out of His grace and His power and His blessing upon my life so that I might be a reflection of the Son of God to a lost and broken world." So this morning, we want to take this bread. If you'll take it and open that, I'm still kind of working on it. I've been talking a little bit long because of this flap. Oh, I got it open. The talking's going to stop. This is My body. His body was beaten, and by His stripes we are. By His stripes we are. By His stripes we are. What if we had an expectation that when we had communion together, when we came together as a family and celebrated the presence of the Lord, that through the various gifts and through the encouragements and through faith of people sitting around us, isn't that powerful that the faith of people sitting around us can actually reach out and God's grace can be dispensed into our lives? Isn't that awesome? Have four friends carry you as a paralytic into the presence of Jesus, and He looks up after He restores complete neurological health to your body, and He turns to four guys and says, "Your faith made him whole." Yeah, isn't that powerful? How did that happen? The grace of God, the power of God, the stuff of God. We're in an ocean of it, folks. And every opportunity we have to break open that soil and break through some rock and realize there's a flow here. I believe there's a flow of God's grace when we're in His presence and we celebrate His table. And what I'm expecting, even as we take it today, so many times as Pentecostals, we think unless you're spit upon by a preacher, slapped with oil, and knocked to the carpet, the grace of God can't touch your life. But I love these stories. Please, make this the way it happens at Vision Church. I'll beg you to say, you know what, we go there, that preacher isn't much. You know, it's just whatever. But man, Jesus shows up. And in the middle of the service, things happen in people's spirits, in people's souls, and in people's bodies. And somebody can go home from our service and be baptized in the Holy Spirit because of the breakthrough of grace that happened in the service. That people can go home from a service and say, hey, I couldn't do that before. I couldn't bend that finger. My ears weren't working so well. I had infections all the time. My indigestion's gone. Some of us would just say hallelujah if we didn't have to take another Tagamet. Right? Look, the grace of God can do that stuff. He can open a blind eye in Vision Church sitting right back here in one of those things. He can open deaf ears. He can take a deaf mute and teach him how to speak in 30 seconds. He can do it. But we have to be committed to saying, we want you to be there. We want you to be in this place. We want to exalt you. We want to lift you up. And every opportunity we have to tap into your grace, we're going to do it. So Lord, we thank you for this body. This is your body which is broken for us, and I'm praying right now over the physical bodies of people in this congregation. There are people with aching backs, there's people with bunions, there's people with neuropathy, there's people with physical problems, there's swollen muscles, there's been displaced patella, there has been injury, there has been injuries that have happened because we did something wise and something that happened because we're unwise. Whatever, but there's been something going on, something has been going on. We need a physical touch of your grace in this room this morning. We need spirits and souls and bodies to be touched. And so, Lord, we thank you for this symbol of your body. We ask your blessing upon it in Jesus' name. Amen. Take of it together. Let's take the cup. Lord, we thank you for this cup. Demonstrates the power of your blood. There's power wonder-working in the blood of the Lamb. We thank you for this blood. Lord, we ask your power and your anointing that is here as we take of this cup. This washes away sin. This challenges the bondages of the enemy and defeats every stronghold of death, hell, and the grave. Lord, we thank you for this cup. And we ask you, bless it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. We'll just slip up a hand towards heaven. Brother Soundman, if you could, or maybe Chris, you could send some of that praise and worship music over to the soundboard. And as we do, just lift up a hand. Say, Lord, you want to open up a flow of grace in this house. We want to be absolutely open. We're not there yet, Lord. You want to flow power in this place, and we're seeing some beginnings, some answers to prayer, some tricklings. People have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Deaf ears are being opened. There are things that are happening that are demonstrating, Lord, what you're willing to do on a grand scale, far and wide. Lord, we are looking for that flow, for that well, for that layer of your grace to be released in this place. Lord, I'm asking that you would change my life. I'm asking that you'd change my mindset and my thinking. Lord, that you challenge some things, because as we're digging down through these things, things are going to have to change. Things are going to have to move in our life. Things are going to have to be rebuked. Things are going to have to be transformed. So, Lord, we just throw open our spirits to you this morning. And we say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for sending a gift. We received that gift in Dale, and we received some grace through that gift, and it has impacted our lives. Lord, let us not go back to that mindset that says, That happens only in a revival with a certain gift that comes. Lord, stir that gift up in us. Stir that gift up in this place. Send us some other gifts. Lord, show us your variety, not for the reasons of just satisfying our curiosity, but Lord, there are some things that need to be broken, some things that need to be shattered, some things that need to be healed, some things that need to be brought together, some sense that needs to be made of some things. And Lord, we come to you and we thank you, for you have provided everything that we have need of, and it flows by your grace. Lord, we receive it. We ask that you be lifted up, glorified in this church, and that the power of your grace would begin to flow and then begin to increase in a way that brings you glory and honor and praise in Lake Worth and in this corner of the city. Lord, we ask it, and we're believing for it, and we're available to it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Thank you for all you testifiers that helped me preach this morning. And what we're doing is just lifting up and exalting Jesus. We have some ushers at the back as you leave. If you just like to drop your trash off in that basket, they'll collect it from you. The Lord bless you as you go. Have a great day. Amen.